I am unashamed. What about you?
So I am officially back from the Bahamas. I had an excellent vacation in the Bahamas. I heard I was thrown under the bus, of course. Of course, most of the feedback I was getting while y'all were doing the podcast was stuff like, Jay said he couldn't understand why I would go to the Bahamas during duck season. Apparently, Jason's never been to the Bahamas.
No, I haven't.
To which I would reply, that is true. So you don't know.
Well, you've been to Cancun, haven't you?
I did an event in Cancun. Yeah. So it wasn't like I went to Cancun to hang out. I went there, did the event, and guess what I said to myself?
I'll never be back.
And if I am, bring your Bible and your wife.
I feel the same way.
You were telling the biggest fat lie in the world, because you and Missy went with me and Lisa one time to Cancun. We played golf all week. We had a great time.
Al, there was an event.
No. You went to the event. That was some other thing. You didn't have an event when you went with us. You went to play golf and hang out.
The older this group crew gets, the less the memory is realized. I remember having a conversation. I said, I'm not going to Cancun. And Missy's like, they're paying you to go. Let's make a trip out of it.
All right, so the audience will know the next time we have Missy on, we'll settle this one right up. And I know exactly how this is going to turn out. There's nothing wrong with my memory. I'm taking Prevagen. I'm on top of things.
The memory.
I'm taking Omega XL.
Me too. So is Dad.
Does that help your memory?
I don't know, but it helps my joints.
I'm sure they sell something out there that helps your memory.
All right, so since we're back new and duck, the first split ended yesterday. So for those of you unfamiliar, I don't know, is it like this in every state or just Louisiana where there's a split in the duck season?
That's all different state by state.
Okay.
So
in Louisiana, we hunt for a couple of weeks. Then there's a couple of week break. And then we basically go the rest of the way through January. So we're in what's now called the first split, which is no hunting. So we had Stone. He just happened to be passing through to clean some deer. And I said, so I want to get a report of what happened for the last 2 weeks, because I don't know how much – I know we talked about some on the podcast, but I figure with Stone here we could get some straight answers. I never know. You and Dad tend to
embellish. It was like a bottle rocket. The season, here's my analysis. It was like a bottle rocket. Shoo, boom, and then it just
– it fizzled.
The last day
– It was like a cheap fireworks show. That's what just
The last day, there was just three of us left, me, Barely, and Phil. They just started dwindling because the first couple of days – I mean, you just about had to offer money to get a seat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were people in every direction.
Oh, we had them hanging outside the blind on opening day. Yeah.
We were thinking about renting a bus just to get the people down there for opening day.
I was having this, we were sharing spots just to get out and shoot. But it was a lot of ducks the first few days.
Opening day jitters, it's always there. So, but overall, we ate a lot of ducks in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's been the best discovery. Tell us how you're making. Have you already done that?
Well, you know, what was your line when you're a serial duck killer?
That's what I said.
You need to know how to cook them and eat them.
That's right.
Yeah, as good as possible. So I figured out how to fry up duck without it tasting like duck.
That's right.
And that's the key.
It is the key.
Because the duck has got like a livery
flavor. So quickly,
flavor.
Three things to prime them. But
through the process.
Number one, breast the duck. Number two, tenderize the breast thoroughly. Number three, put it in a saltwater brine overnight.
But when do you cut them in strips?
After the first brine.
All right, so you have the breast. You put them in a saltwater brine.
Tenderize
how long?
Them first.
No.
Tenderize them first.
All right, tenderize them.
Clean them.
Now, tell them about that. Is there a... You have like a tool you use.
Yeah,
right?
it's a little
sharp knife.
It's got a bunch of little sharp knives that come
it
out.
It looks like some form of torture.
It's like a shredder. It's a shredder.
You peel the feathers with the skin intact back.
Yeah. Yep.
So nothing but breast and go down next to
right.
the middle of the duck's bone, their chest bone.
I learned a lesson left. With that utensil, by the way. Don't, when I was trying to figure out how to put, don't make sure there's no body part
on either
side.
I learned the hard way with
I did the same thing. Yeah. I just pumped blood, just started pouring out my thumb.
So anyways, tenderize into the saltwater brine overnight, take it out the next day, rinse them off, cut them into strips, put them back in a buttermilk brine.
Just straight buttermilk.
Straight buttermilk. Back in the fridge. Overnight
like
again.
In a plastic bag, it's easy to put them in there.
Ziploc
bags.
Pour a cup of milk in there.
Yep.
you know,
buttermilk.
Buttermilk.
Okay.
Buttermilk and just you know, roll them around a little bit, yep, and let them sit.
So yep, this is a 2-day process.
This is a two and a half day.
By the way,
day
this three. Is what you have to do so what to make a duck edible,
three?
By the way.
What happens on day three?
Day three, you take them out, put them in a strainer in the sink, then take your fingers that are soaked in buttermilk, put them in a silver bowl, sift your flour on them. I'm sorry, I missed a step.
Yep.
Take your sour cream.
Uh-oh.
On top, and not egg wash, sour cream in there.
I would say a heaped up kitchen spoon.
I'd say about three. Well, it depends on how many. You just want a good coat of sour cream on all your strips.
Ah, so that's helping hold your flour.
So you don't use eggs?
No eggs.
Well, that's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what happens if you trade the sour cream for egg?
Well, it's not as crunchy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Crunchier with the
who
sour.
Told you this?
I learned that from John Godwin of all people.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Godwin didn't get that size by not understanding.
So how do you fry them? What do you fry them?
So you get your peanut oil hot, I'd say 375 at least, hot peanut oil, and then you sift your flour, put enough flour to get everybody dry.
Roll them out.
Roll them out, drop them in the grease, fry them, I'd say minute and a half tops.
Yep.
They start floating, you get them out. And then dust whatever seasoning you want on them while they're wet.
Because there's no seasoning on them.
Right.
So a little salt and black pepper, never hurt anything.
Maybe a little Cajun.
A little Cajun seasoning.
A little Phil
how
seasoning.
How spicy you want them.
There Phil was no Robertson.
Phil Robertson seasoning.
Well, that's my favorite. But there was no, because I was shocked. You tried to get me to come down there for 2 or 3 days, but I was like, I mean, I like the teal and wood ducks on the grill.
Yeah.
Everything else I give to people.
Right.
Around the Twin Cities. But when you came up on this, you were like, no, I'm telling you, this is good. And I have to admit, there was no gaminess or livery flavor whatsoever. And you didn't just do teal and wood duck. What are some of the ducks
there
you did?
There was some pintail in there. Those three pintail you got all
Gadwalls.
Excited about. They were in there.
It literally is a way to eat most of the ducks.
That's right.
Yeah, which is really incredible. It was kind of what I would call a happy accident. Because you just discovered this last year because we run out of meat.
Yeah.
We had people coming. Jay's kind of scrambling around. You had something in the fridge brining, so you thought, well, I'll try this.
So if the audience is listening, what they're thinking is, so what would you call this that ducks are brined in salt water and buttermilk and then sour cream rolled together, a lot of flour. You got to have two whole canisters of plenty of flour so they'll all get coated.
Yeah.
Do that. Have it. Basically, I would call them duck tenders because tender. I'm accentuating tender.
Oh, they're really tender.
Well, the tenderizer was the contributor.
So I think there's a couple of shows we could say Stone's duck tenders or Stone's duck fries because they're kind
duck
of
fries.
Long,
duck big, fingers.
Yeah, duck fries. Duck fingers.
I felt like though when I ate them after I ate a dozen that it
you after your first dozen.
After the first dozen, I felt like it needed a salve to dip into, and I'm not a big salve.
I make a duck salve to go with it. It's just mayonnaise, horseradish, Worcestershire, and some seasoning.
But you have way too much mayonnaise. When I saw that,
but Jace won't eat mayonnaise.
Well, you had a pound of mayonnaise. I'm like, I'm out on that.
No,
well,
I
was thinking a different salve.
It's a good little sauce.
Yeah, Phil likes it.
Yeah, it's good sauce.
I don't like
that. You can't do anything about your idiosyncrasies.
What was in that sauce again?
Mayonnaise, horseradish, Worcestershire, and whatever seasoning.
Dip your tenders over in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they'll literally melt in your mouth. I mean, you're not chewing like, no, not at all. If you follow what he just said, you do that. It is a terrific way to eat ducks.
But chew easily because you don't want to bite down on a pellet. And by the way, 90% of the ducks that I've cleaned this year had number sixes in them.
And by the way, hey,
90%.
Now I ate all the fingers of this duck season, and I was like Jace when he said he ate 12. He was talking about there's three fingers on each side, three fingers, three on the left breast, three on the right breast, the part of the duck.
Yeah,
that gives you one duck.
Yeah,
you can always, if you want to keep the rest of the duck and boil them for gumbos and
keep
stuff.
That for the gumbo.
They're just ducks without breasts, which we don't put in a gumbo anyway. We put
the legs and the fat.
The legs and the thigh.
Right.
So you still have that for gumbo. So you can save a lot of money if you just
Well, we ate them. Well, y'all ate them every day.
Yeah.
But back to the point at hand. Now, who were the parties shooting number
Was there
sixes?
Any 20 gauge
this year?
Oh, Si shoots number fours. Phil shoots number threes. The nurse man, he's shooting number threes. And there's two men shooting number sixes, me and Jace.
Oh, I didn't know that. And so you're saying 90% of the pellets.
Nine out of ten.
Those of you watching the podcast just saw Dad's eye roll of arrows. I mean, that could put Missy to shame, the eye roll.
Who's the best shot always comes for somewhere.
By the only the one who's cleaning them, right?
Yeah. Oh, for years I was trying to figure out it's all about how many we killed. No, it ain't about that. It's about who killed what.
Well, Si's gone on record saying if we all had different colored shots, which they actually make those.
Oh, they do make them.
He said, boys, you don't want to do that. And I was like, well, I thought you were the one wanting to know who killed what. He said, no, if we do that, they're going to come down here and put me under the jail.
Back when we were shooting, I've seen Si when we had like a lot of ducks on the table, we cleaned them, and Si was telling them, touting 16 gauge over 12 gauge, 16. Yeah. And he would look at the duck. He said, oh, let me give you an example. There's one. He'd look at it. He said, 16 gauge. He looked at 16 gauge.
But he was just looking at
the side. He had it down to gauge. What gauge?
I said,
well, what are you shooting? He said, 16 gauge. Yeah.
This is also the same man that we put, while he was asleep in the blind, we put three shells in his gun filled with baby powder, of which he discharged all of them, and then claimed he went 3 for 3. I was like, you shot baby powder. He said, well, they might have died from a heart attack, but every time I pulled the trigger, there was a white cloud.
Well, that's,
and they died.
That's what that Si's always said. All I can say is, boy, of course, he's always standing next to Dad through the years.
Yeah.
All I can say is, boys, every time I pull the trigger, something fell. Well, and Dad said, it may have something to do with who you're standing next to. Yeah.
Si gets hot about it.
Oh, he does. He does. But, that's, you know, that's part of the fun. And over the years, and we laugh about it now, but I've noticed nowadays, well, it's not about those ducks got away. We can't think that way anymore. The ones that got away. Now it's just thank the Almighty that we're here duck hunting.
Yeah.
It's turned into survival.
That's right. It is. And there's no doubt that the blind grows more geriatric every year.
Yeah.
That's pretty evident.
When they start pulling in the oxygen bottles with them.
Yeah. I noticed two things. Wheelchairs and oxygen bottles have made their appearance this year.
I guess whenever the American Disabilities Act begins to apply to our duck blinds.
But y'all have done well with old Si because he's huffing and puffing, you know, the old lungs, not what they were. But y'all get him a chair ready and we just get him seated.
Hey, hats off to Stone. Stone brought Si back to life because after COVID, he's about ready to go on to heaven, but now he's enjoying life.
Well, maybe the Almighty did via some. You know. It's happened before. It was a guy named Lazarus.
Yeah. He has had quite the resurrection.
Oh, he's doing
great. So I guess
here
in the last few seconds, Jay, I'll mention, because I used to call it our sister podcast, but since we're all males, I guess it's our brother podcast. Mm. Is the Duck Call Room. And I know a lot of people watch both and think highly of both. So just as a plug for you guys to keep doing what you're doing in the Duck Call Room, because it's a lot of fun.
Who's on y'all's podcast?
Well, Martin, Johnny D, Si, they're the regulars. Me and Godwin and MacMillan rotate every third every third episode.
Who does most of the talking?
Who do you think?
I have no idea. Si?
Oh, Si and Martin. Oh.
Si and Martin.
Well, because Si is going to tell tales, and Martin knows everything.
Yeah.
And
Martin has the gift of gab.
He does. And we had him on here, and he was great recently. I was so glad we had him, kind of told his backstory to Unashamed. Mm-hmm. So we needed to have him.
Has the subject of me and Si playing cards together come up?
Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
He's in full-blown denial. Oh, okay. You know.
Somebody sent me word that, you know, I need to laugh more. And I said, well, if I find something to laugh about, I'll laugh out loud. But I haven't seen anything that funny out of this bunch.
Phil needs a hug.
I've been laughing ever since I've been sitting in this chair.
On your way out, give Phil a hug.
No, I ain't doing
it.
Well, you know, my daughter gave him a hug one time, and he went, hey.
I'm not the most lovey-dovey man around. I'll admit it.
Good old Phil, soft and fuzzy. All right. Yeah.
Thanks, Stone.
All right. The update. I'm going to go clean your deer for you.
All right. So, Jace, I mentioned going to the Bahamas. One of the things I missed was my own bed. You know, when you travel, that's the one thing you wish you could take with you, but it's too big to fit in your suitcase or, you know, fit in the bottom of a plane. But another thing is not just your bed, but the sheets that go on your bed. We talk a lot on this podcast about a company called Bowl and Branch. And I have to say, Lisa and I were using these sheets long before they were sponsors of the podcast. It's a great product. It was a husband and wife team, Scott and Missy Tannen, that founded this, started a new standard in bedding, and now other people are trying to catch up to them. Really good. Signature hem sheets are their all-time bestseller. They're soft, lightweight, made with 100% organic cotton, and they feel great, and they got a lot of different colors. You're going to enjoy them. Treat yourself to Bowl and Branch sheets. And it's a great gift, too, by the way. If you order by 12/19, you get a guaranteed delivery by Christmas. So the best deals of the year going on now from 12/6 to 12/8. Promo code Robertson at Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L and Branch.com. That's bowlandbranch.com. Use the promo code Robertson. Exclusions may apply. Check them out. So it's always good to have Stone on the podcast. He's, you know, Stone's funnier than he's always got a demeanor, kind of the old, you know, middle school coach demeanor, but he's got a pretty funny side. Last night we had, Jace, we had a big oyster feed at my house and for Alex's birthday. You missed out on that. Yeah. It was char grilled oysters. Gimber came over. Dad got some of the raw ones. They were delicious. Yeah. You know, in Louisiana, in November, December is oyster time. You know, it's when they're at their best. Yeah. You usually get that good salt brine on them. Tastes really good. A couple of things I wanted to mention before we get into our Bible study today is that you guys have done awesome because you bought all of the daily fills. They're gone. We sold them all, Dad. But they're going to come out with some more next year, so you can be looking for some if you missed it. But you can still pre-order your copy of Dad's new book, Uncanceled. It's going to be out in February. And the only place you can reserve a signed copy right now is Talk Shop Live. And so the guys will drop a link in there for you to see where to go to get that if you want to go ahead and get a pre-signed or a copy of the book, which would be great. Also, you can find Dad on Substack. I didn't even know you were on Substack till they told me. It's called philrobertson.substack.com. And here's the deal with Substack. It's really interesting because it was started by a bunch of journalists who got tired of being censored for their content. You know, they do an online article somewhere and some big tech company just goes in and takes it out. So they started this whole new platform called Substack, and it's uncensored. It's one of the few places. If you go through any of the other ones, and so now your newsletters on there, your blogs, all the stuff that you're putting out. So it's free. It's free if you subscribe. So check it out, philrobertson.substack.com. So I was impressed, Dad, because you're right up there with all the big journalists, the big boys. Yeah. So
who would have thought?
Yeah. Here you go. Here you are. So tell me what y'all. I was gone, and so Zach was in my shoes for the last four podcasts. So y'all did Matthew, correct? Jace, I heard it was just a laugh a minute without me here.
I tried to tell a few funnies, but I realized that Zach and Phil are perhaps the hardest people in the world to make laugh on purpose. So I got off that. And we, so for all the more serious listeners, mm-hmm. I thought we had a pretty good talk about, what did we do? We did 20.
So y'all did 20 and 21 and 22.
Yeah. That's what we did. We right. did the try. I think we did 21 and 22.
Okay. Yeah, because we had done most of 20 before.
So, and look, it wasn't easy. These are chapters that I had not been deeply thoughtful about before prior to this. So I learned a lot. It was great.
Well, you know, the way I've kind of looked at the whole book, and everybody outlines it differently, but I sort of outlined it from the standpoint of that he sort of had five major addresses that Matthew records. And then there's a lot of stuff going on around each one. And when you get into this fifth one, whereas he's about to start today, and we're about to start today in Matthew 23, you really have to understand at this point the context of the book and what he's trying to convey, or you'll miss a lot of stuff, especially when we get into 23 and 24 and 25, because a lot of people, they'll mix and match, you know, with some of the language Jesus uses to have it, you know, applying to a lot of different things. And so that's why I think it's really crucial to remember that this whole thing has been about him saying, look, this is the kingdom. This is new. This is different. I mean, this is the old ways were this, but I'm introducing something different. And so a lot of this applies directly into that. But, man, you get a lot of different, you know, people apply this all over the place.
One point I would just like to make here. When you're dealing with the description of the God who became flesh, now we say it and it's just kind of like words, but in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You get to John 1:1, and the beginning was the Word. Here's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This being, Jesus Christ, can eradicate, kill dead the entire population, birds, animals, reptiles, and humans, and the whole thing. It can disappear in a moment, and he has the power to slaughter the entire human race this quick. He's the one they're talking to. Well, if you think about it like that, in all these texts, they're basically saying, he is, do not mess with me.
That's right.
I love you. I want the best for you, but you do not want to mess with me. That's what I'm reading when I read through Matthew and the events and the people he's dealing with. I'm going up there. I'm going to die, be buried, raised from the dead, and they all go, ha, ha. It's a laugh. It's a joke. He's a joke.
Right.
And he's come riding up on a donkey, and they said, look at this. And they're trying to figure out these ways to outthink him. Well, if you're the creator of the cosmos, Al, I mean, you hold the keys to life and death.
Right.
And he's going to give both.
Yeah.
And he gives warning. And he said, this is the way the kingdom's going to be. Find this. Find me and move forward, and you'll be okay.
Right.
So no, he's not asking for the moon here.
I think you're right. And remember the arch we're talking about. Remember we started this in Matthew chapter 5 with him saying, this is the way you're going to live in this new setup. You know, these blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed. So he starts out, it's pretty soft.
That's right.
You know, this is what we're going to look like. And then when we get, now by the time we get to the end, this is his last discourse.
He tends to be turning the...
But this is almost like another Sermon on the Mount.
It is, but it's...
geared toward the religious leaders,
right. Exactly.
and sects that... I mean, I was thinking about how to discuss this, because he just land blasted them and basically said, go invite the prostitutes and
it's lambasted, not lamb blasted. I mean, you want me to laugh? Ha ha. I mean,
there's a joke.
I've been back every time. You butcher the English language, I will laugh a little bit.
Well, we were supposed to have a guest.
Lamb blasted.
Look, we were supposed to have a guest on today.
Which
I think we're doing.
She's going to be on, yeah,
well,
later.
Missy referred to our guest. She said, well, she's, because I was doing my research, which means ask Missy, because I don't watch TV. And she's
like, Missy knew her, didn't she?
Oh, she knew her, big fan. And she said,
are you going to say they'll hide her?
No, we can say Kaylee McEnany, yeah.
All right, so she'll be on.
She'll be on a couple of podcasts from now. So.
Yeah. So Missy said she's very articulate. And
she's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, she went to Oxford for a year?
Yo.
And then she graduated from Harvard Law School. So
yo.
She is going to raise up the IQ of this group, I can tell you that.
Well, so what I was going to say is, you know, in the redneck world, I mean, we're the only world left that people can make fun of. Yeah, because we're unoffendable, you know.
That's right.
And, you're right. And the education, I mean, most everyone in my family are highly educated.
Yeah.
Except me. But A lot of
paterfamilias. You're the leader of the whole outfit.
I don't know what that word means. And
so you want to explain that one too?
But what I was going to say is a lot of sophisticated words that I've come across, and I feel like I can represent the redneck culture in this. I heard that once upon a time, but I thought it's not worth using. So I'm not familiar with a lot of words, especially those with a lot of syllables. And it's not that I haven't heard it before. I wasn't taught that. I just thought, I could say the same thing using a more simple word. So if you don't use it, you mess them up, which is a common theme with Si, K, and we all laugh because they have just enough, and me at times.
To make it funny.
But to his point, I mean, Jesus went to great lengths. When you start talking about IQ, acumen, the knowledge, when you're looking at God in flesh, and he's having to carry on a conversation with humans,
he had to dumb it down.
I'm just saying simplicity was the key to what he said.
Well, and that's interesting. Let's take a break. So on my recent trip, I had an interesting thing happen at probably about 35,000 feet. I went to the little tiny bathroom on my airplane, and I was listening to my music, which I always do on my Raycons. And, of course, now you have to wear the stupid mask 24/7 on the plane, and they're just, they've gotten very belligerent about that. But I go in the bathroom, I think, I'm going to pull the mask off and at least get a few moments of air, such as it is. As I'm pulling it off, I catch one of my Raycons with the mask, with the, the thread on the mask, and it pops right down into the toilet.
Oh, wow.
And right down the hole. So there's no retrieving that. I don't know where it goes on an airplane, but it was gone. So then the worst part about it, I got no music for the rest of the flight. And now I'm missing my right Raycon.
Burial at air.
That's right. So somebody, somebody's going to find that, I guess, at some point. I don't know how they do that, but it's no good without the other. So I got to check these guys out to get my replacement coming soon. The holidays are coming up faster than you think. Now's the time to knock out your gift list and get you some Raycons. They're fantastic earbuds. They work great. If you go right now to their website, which is buyraycon.com, you're going to get 15% off site-wide. And when you use the code word HOLIDAY, H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, HOLIDAY, at buyraycon.com/unashamed. So check them out, buyraycon.com/unashamed. Use the code HOLIDAY, 15% off any of your Raycon order. That's interesting, Dad, because you're right. And the biggest accusation against him was that this guy's from Nazareth. There's a bunch of idiots in Nazareth. Yeah. That's what they were saying. What good thing can
they come? They were treating him for maybe one notch above a redneck.
That's right.
But you got to remember. I was gonna bring up with Kaylee, which maybe if y'all, I'll practice this on y'all if we don't think we should go there, because I don't know much about politics. But what I've noticed is when people try to get the redneck world vote, that's a struggle. Now, George Bush Jr., he got it. Because he does what we do.
Right.
He was like, the strategery. Well, people thought it's funny, because but to me, I thought, sounds right.
And you're right.
Strategery.
The elites made fun of him, but the common man said, that's my kind of
guy. That's my kind of guy.
He's come up with a new word.
He's a real guy. Now, look, what I found fascinating about Trump, I was going to ask you about this, because here's a guy from New York. I'm sure he's highly educated, but he is articulate. But he's trying to get the flyover states vote.
Right.
So he just kept it real simple. Build the wall.
That's right.
Believe me.
That's
you,
right.
You just think about it. He had all these sayings that he just said over and over. And that's people right. like, yeah.
That's my kind of guy.
But somewhere back when Donald Trump was running the country, and did an outstanding job, in my humble opinion.
Agreed.
I wrote down in my Bible, for some reason, the definition of Trump. And I put under there acumen, A-C-U-M-E-N. Keenness is the definition of acumen.
Of the word Trump?
the word acumen.
When you look at Donald Trump, to me, he was a guy who ran the country for 4 years. Acumen. He had a tremendous acumen. Keenness and quickness in understanding and dealing with a situation. Shrewdness.
Yep, yep.
Mental acuteness.
Yep.
And I wrote that down under Donald Trump. If you go with his personality, you'd rip him to shreds with his personality now.
Right.
But with his acumen, if you had stayed there and camped out there and looked at what he accomplished, and especially his belief in God and his belief, pro-life, pro-gun, pro-God, and someone says, I wonder if he's the one we want. I'm like, oh, yeah, but his personality is kind of caustic, so I don't like him. So I hear these women say that. A lot of women say, well, you know, he offended me because he was just too, he had a caustic personality, so they didn't vote for him, I guess, because of his not policies, but because of his personality.
So Dad, when we
overlooked any kind of caustic speech.
When we have Kaylee on, because I read her book, and it's really a good book, I want you to ask her that same thing. I want you to read that and ask her, because she, in the year she was worked for him, she's on the phone with Trump and with him in person multiple times every day. So all the things about what people think about Trump, you hate him, you love him, you don't like this, you don't like that. This woman actually spent a lot of time with Trump. So I want you to ask her that question on the podcast.
I don't believe I'd ever heard that word acumen. So mental, what's it mean?
Isn't there a car?
It means is the definition is keenness and quickness in understanding and dealing with the situation. That's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a great definition.
They tried everything.
I'm thinking of Acura. There's an Acura.
In other words, he's spoken plain language.
Form of acuteness. And what was the other word you were using? Acoustic.
Mental acuteness. And caustic is you have a personality that's a
sandpaper.
Yeah, sandpaper.
It grates against people.
How do you spell that?
Caustic.
You know, he was putting the little one-liners in on the computer, but a lot of people didn't like that because he had a caustic, meaning it's hard just to get along with.
Well, you know, and sometimes I think
bombastic a little
sometimes
bit.
I think he's joking, but they're just not getting it.
Yeah.
I mean, he just has a way about
it. He could have toned it down a little bit, but I wasn't voting on it.
You know what,
I wasn't backing him because of his personality.
Here's my assessment, since we're there now, then we'll get back where we were, is that when I first heard Trump, but before I knew anything about him, especially in how he was with other Republicans, I was like, man, somebody needs to like tone this guy down. And then it hit me. I was like, wait a minute. Donald Trump, I mean, Dad is a biblical version of Donald Trump. It'd be like me telling you, now, Dad, when you're speaking, don't say this, that, and the other. I mean, I wouldn't even try to do that because you are who you are. When you approach the Word of God, he's the same way, but about politics.
Same way.
I mean, you can't.
Phil came out of a rough background, and so he didn't tend to sugarcoat things.
Right.
So the first few times he spoke.
Hey, so did Trump.
That's right.
I know. But I was going to make the point. You're the one of the few speakers that I've ever heard that early on, there would be a notable gasp from the audience at different times. They were like,
caustic. Caustic.
You've toned it down.
You've gotten a little softer.
Well, good. I'm glad I mispronounced that word so we could have a moment
of
clarity. And all right, so I was.
But lambasted, I could see lambasted is not a word.
What did I say?
You said lambasted. Lambasted is the word. But by adding that L, what you have done, Jason, if you've taken another, you made a new word because lambasted works. But it's just not the
right
one.
You know what? Yeah. I think I like lamb blasting better. This is how words evolve.
This is how words evolve. You're right.
You can get away with it because they understand.
We're in charge, the redneck world, of taking common words and putting different spins on them.
And what look, you brought out another thing that most people would not realize looking at Dad. We talk about Dad. He has a minor in English. Mm-hmm. You taught English. You were my English teacher in middle school. And so it's not like you don't have a strong vocabulary.
He didn't pass that gene down.
What he did to me. What happened is I got the second helping. You got nothing, Jason.
What I was going to say is we don't care. The redneck world does not
care.
Right,
you're right.
If people, they mispronounce words every day. In my inner circle, it's a constant abuse of the English language.
Of the Queen's
we
English.
We choose not to assimilate into that world.
Because using perfect English, and I studied it in college, it comes across like you're a sissy. And I want to be more blunt than a sissy. It just seems sissy-like. You're using flawless English. Yeah. Like,
I thought you were going to say millennial or yuppie.
I wasn't expecting sissy. That one got me.
I don't even know what that means.
Well,
really
you think about it a while, it'll come to you.
All right, so let's take a break.
So I'd say we understand that standing up for what you believe in can be challenging. But when you have principles, that's what you do. And unfortunately, a lot of times in the corporate world, in the business world, you don't have a lot of people standing very firm. They're very wish-washy. They go with the flow. Whatever newest group comes along, that's who they are. One of our sponsors is a group that's been around for a while, and they've been, you know, big supporters of us, and so we want to help them out as well. And they're called Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Everybody's got a cell phone now, so this is a way to get a provider that has some of the same values that you do. They offer broad nationwide coverage, use the same towers as all the major carriers. They fit any budget. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides excellent customer service. So they share your values. They fight for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders. So check them out, patriotmobile.com/Phil. Or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. You get a free activation with the offer code PHIL. They always have a special discount for veterans and first responders. So check these guys out, patriotmobile.com/PHIL, or call them at 972-PATRIOT. All right, so let's get back to Matthew. I don't know. That was a wide turn right, is what that
well,
was.
Well, here's what I was going to say is... I don't
you
know.
Started with Jesus lambasted.
Lambasted, lamb blasted, whichever one you prefer. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And then it kind of culminates into this speech, which is quite heated.
Well, he's got seven woes.
And they're portraying themselves as sinless.
Right.
That's the portrayal they're trying to get at him out. The one who's fixing to die for their sins.
So I want to get y'all's take though on the first three verses because I find this fascinating. And when I went back and was preparing for today,
what chapter?
23, Matthew 23.
Yeah.
Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples. Now he's aiming at a certain. Remember, everybody's there. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So he establishes their right to do what they're doing and be who they are. In other words, he's saying they're representatives of Moses and the law.
And this thing has been guiding them for 1,500 years.
That's right. So he says, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. So I like that he establishes that.
No, he's.
I put them there.
Well,
you know, it's what we know.
What they represent
right.
is good.
Right.
I think it goes back to when he says, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. I think these principles that were in place were good things.
That's right.
But they should lead you to a lawgiver, an yeah. actual person and a being. So he does start off, be careful when he starts off bragging on you just a little bit, because then it's just followed.
It's a setup, because the key word, and by the way, anytime you see this word in the Bible, it should give you pause to then think about what went before it. Because he says that, and they're like, okay, that's pretty good. But, when you see the word but, he's fixing to give you some more. But, do not do what they do, mm-hmm. for they do not practice what they preach. So he establishes the whole speech by saying, they're there because God put them there. They're representative of something good. So listen to what they say, but don't do what they do.
They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them.
Right.
Which is the key point.
And if you look at modern day religion, even under the grace of God through Jesus, his death for us, his burial, his resurrection, if you look at the things that we have bound people with, Jace, I'll tell you about it, he visits a lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
So do I. How you look at it, they get put heavy loads on you, heavy right. loads. Don't do this. Everything is a rule, creed.
Well, there's no compassion. Yeah. The difference here between them and Jesus, there's no compassion. They have the rules, but there's no path. And they look at their people as hopeless because it says they're not helping them. They're not willing to lift a finger to move them.
Right.
They're not doing anything other than walking around, and you see the next verse, 5, everything they do is done for men to see.
Right.
Yep.
They make their phylacteries, which, you know, I wouldn't have known what that was had I not researched, but basically a box they wore on their head yeah. with scriptures.
Did you ever see any of that in Israel? I wonder if they still do that to this day.
I mean, I can't recall.
I mean, I've seen the curly hair and like yeah. the prayer tassels, but I wonder, do they still wear the phylacteries?
They had the look as being very religious.
Well, if you're going around with a box on your head full of prayers, yeah, I mean, that's...
Well, and some of it was like scriptures or laws right. or whatever it right. contained. And it's like, hey, look at me. Look how much I have on top of my head.
Look how big my box is.
Well, you can see what Jesus represents. He's all about the heart, which is not the pumping heart, but the right. the soul of a man and how you make your decisions. And they're like, oh, look how many pieces of paper I have on my head in this box.
Right.
Yeah. And it says they love to have men call them rabbi. Yeah.
And they love the place of honor.
I'm a big dog.
But you know, they love the honor. They love the place of honor at banquets, the yeah. important seats. They love to be greeted in the marketplace. They wanted to be called special names that showed that they were as godlike. I mean, rabbi.
But don't you, reverend. But hadn't y'all seen that today? Because I'll go speak somewhere, and look, because I worked for years for a church, you know, preaching, so they'll ask me, they'll say, well, what, when we introduce you, what title do we use?
Yeah.
You know, because it's, again, this thing is carried forward. And so I always, my joke is I always say, so, well, I prefer Your Excellency. And I say it serious, and they look at me like, really?
And I'm like, pompous.
Yeah, I said, I prefer that. I said, but you can just call me Al. I mean, the thing is,
I think it would have been good to say, how about sinner?
There you go. Because of sinner saved by grace.
Because of these texts we're reading, to this day, if they say you're a preacher, and I'm like, nope, I'm not a bona fide certified preacher. I'm just not one. I
said, well, and yet you do a lot of preaching.
Well, I point people to Jesus, but I won't carry that. The weight of, well, he's a preacher, therefore he's got
this. Because of this context.
I won't say it.
Well, and look, you trained
us. You've noticed that, Al.
Yeah, and you trained us in that day. You told us, since I was a boy, I remember you saying, boys, let me tell you something. Don't tell people how great you are. Yep. If someone thinks you're great, that's fine, but you, because you're that. But don't tell them. And that stuck with me all these years.
Where's the verse that says a man shouldn't think of himself more highly than
Romans 12.
Yeah, Romans 12.
Romans 12, about verse 10 or so.
I'm at Romans 12, and I don't see
Romans
it.
In verse 4, verse 3, do not think, for the grace given to me, I say unto every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith.
I think that's the way we should be. Now, look, here's what's funny to me.
And all that coming from a guy who, when he, like, in jest gave his titles, Paul, I mean, he listed his whole thing. He had more titles than you could possibly have, but he was like, none of that matters.
That's right.
But to me,
hang on, Jess, let's take our last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So it's that time of year, we like to say, tis the season, when people are looking for great gift ideas and different things to give to their loved ones. We know that a lot of you guys out there in Unashamed Nation are always looking for some good Unashamed merch. And so we want to let you know there's going to be a 20% off discount right now if you use the right code to be able to get some holiday items or just some items for yourself, which is always good. So you go to Phil Merch. PHILMERCH.com, philmerch.com. The promo code is unashamed20. That's unashamed20. It's going to get you 20% off. And so it's some really cool looking Unashamed gear. Things for you to give to someone just to say I love you and also support Unashamed Nation. So we love you guys. We're so glad that you're out there and that you're with us. So unashamed20, philmerch.com.
People in our world do the same thing when they then get to verse 9. It says, don't call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. So they're like, people, they'll throw the Catholics under the bus because they call father. Like, I mean, that's what it says. But other denominations do the same thing, even using the almost word pastor.
Or preacher or brother. Cause they can even take brother to another. Because if you're brother Jace, that means you're not just Jace. So.
Don't become a Pharisee in trying to defend what you're doing when Jesus was lambasting.
You actually
I like blasted better.
You actually, and we've proven that. You actually, Al. You don't need the title. You don't need the title.
No, which is his point.
Just let it go.
Because if you love the title more than you love what you're doing, you'll become like these guys.
And you bring all kinds of unregulated patting you on the back.
Yeah.
I mean, if they say, "Well, that's brother so, that's a preacher," he's a
Well, we call our earthly father's father because some people get technical and they say, well, we can't do that because of this verse. Right. But I think it's a legalistic way. His point was these people have elevated themselves and not the lawgiver. They're thinking the powers in and of themselves. I mean, to me, I thought about this long and hard how to explain this because this, to me, is a difficult chapter to go in. A lot of people think, because he just says the same thing over and over about they want to look a certain way, but they're not, they're hypocrites. That's what the modern day word for it is hypocrite.
Well, he's going to call them that quite often.
Calls them snakes. And so I got to thinking how to describe them. Here's what I came up with, young Tim, if I'm right or wrong. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law that he's addressing to me, stay with me on this, remind me of refrigerator salesman.
Refrigerator salesman.
Now, just think about this.
I'm thinking about it.
I'm thinking about the last refrigerator salesman. Okay.
Let's think about this. I go with me on this. Right. And then when you read Matthew 23, it'll be like when you open the door to a refrigerator, what happens?
Light comes on.
Yeah. Well, the refrigerator is only as good as it's plugged in.
Which ours is unplugged because it's so loud.
Yep. Yeah. This is where I got the idea. Uh-huh. So the power source that provides the power to the refrigerator, that is ultimately the greatest part. Because if you unplug it.
It doesn't work.
And you leave your food in it, guess what? You've got a picture of the Pharisees. It looks great on the outside, but you open it, they're not plugged into the power.
Nothing there.
But here's why.
Except rotten, stinking food.
Yeah. Now, that would be a good illustration. But then I got to thinking further. If you go try to, here's what you get into. And I think this is why he's doing this in different ways. So next time you're in town, Phil, which may be 2025, if you stop at a place that sells refrigerators, you know what I found interesting? They'll have one. You go to the salesman. Do this because it's really a lot of fun. and say, look, I'm thinking about buying a refrigerator. Well, you'll go over there and look. They'll have 100 to choose from. One of them will be, you know, $1,700. One of them, $1,200. And so you're like, you just ask the question, what's the difference?
And then they come to
this life. One keeps everything cold. So you open the next one, you're like, what about this one? Keeps everything cold. You're like, what about this? Well, for $200 more, you can keep everything cold. So then you're like, well, what? Why should I have this? Well, he'll open the door and he'll say, but look here, you have a little place for butter. And you say, what you do there is you put your butter. And they'll have little egg holders.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all seen a refrigerator? I'm like, why are they all different? It's just a ploy. It's all a way to get you to spend your money.
Yep.
But guess what? You're spending your
bottom way. Line. There, it's just
they're all the same. I mean, big and small, okay. But other than that, what else is there?
Well, you got the ones in the door that you can get the water and the ice on the outside of the refrigerator. That's a little something.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you $100 for that. But I mean, you're looking, you're like, you're talking about a scam.
Yeah.
You got 100 different prices on refrigerator with one goal.
The power source still is hooked onto the wall where you plug it in.
Yeah, that's right. And that's when you make this thing complex, that's where you get off.
Right.
And I think that's what they did. They should have been thinking, who wrote this? What was his point? What was his point? Not my point. You don't go into the marketplace to be noticed. You go in the marketplace, so hopefully people will notice Jesus in some way. This gets into what we represent. The power is greater.
Now, he makes an interesting point because the law was written down on stone tablets and passed down to them, and the thing was jumping up and down and fire coming out of it. He said, just take it easy. They all said, don't have him speak anymore because we'll all die. If he opened his mouth, we're all dead.
That's right.
And Moses said, no, he's just doing that to keep you from sinning. Well, he had the tablets with him, and they didn't write them. He did. But they ended up being this way.
Right.
That Jesus addresses. Not good.
No. And they were written, by the way, by some sort of...
There was no mercy involved in that. It was keep it or die.
And they were written by some sort of divine fire because Moses wasn't chiseling it on the stone.
That's right.
This was the divine chiseling on the stone.
So fire and brimstone, fire and brimstone is taken down to the people through the law. But then when Jesus shows up, it's grace and mercy.
Right.
He's saying to them, you know, I'm the one that can save you.
Right.
Not these. You haven't kept these statutes.
Right.
You've butchered them, but you're acting like you're 100% perfect. You're not.
Which, by the way, that's why he had to come here and become one of us.
That's why he canceled this code.
Right. Because when he did that, remember we did the before when he bends down, he touches somebody. I mean, you couldn't touch the mountain.
Oh.
You couldn't get near it. You thought if you even saw what was happening, you were going to die. All was fearful. The idea of just...
You know, earlier when he's with his disciples, they're going to pick up a few grains and eat. What are you doing?
Yep.
You know, you heal somebody. A great deed. They're sitting there nitpicking it, saying, what are you doing? On the Sabbath? I mean, you're supposed to be where... You can't work. And they just were... twisting on every little bitty thing.
Right.
Man, what a way to live, Al.
It'd be terrible. And that's the beauty of what he's trying to describe. And I'll read these last two. We'll get into the woes next time. But it says, the greatest among you, verse 11, will be your servant, which he includes, by the way, himself. Because he said, I came here to serve, not to be served. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that was the whole concept. You want the name, you want the position, you want everybody to think you're so great, you want to sit up front instead of in the back, but none of that matters.
That's right.
I mean, what matters is that people are pointed to him. Which
some of this stuff is still here to this day, Al.
It is. It's terrible. And it's one of the things that gives us a bad name.
A lot of people, it does, you know, like shut the door in their face, you know, and you keep people from entering the kingdom. Because when they look around, once they get there, they got all these rules and regulations and this and that and the other. And they're like, you know, give me a break.
Right.
You know, but that plate is always, you know, they make sure that plate goes around.
Or the prosperity
That's
gospel.
Why we don't even pass the plate.
I said, well, I was going to read first, I mean, 2 Corinthians 4:5, it says, we don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, which is the exact opposite of what they were doing. And ourselves as his servants, for God said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power, which goes back to plugging in to the wall as a refrigerator, is from God and not from us.
And remember this, I'll bring it up again because we did it earlier. If you turn back 2 pages from Matthew 23, and he's talking to him here, just remember, Al, we're going up to Jerusalem, he told his disciples, and the Son of Man will be betrayed, you say, into whose hands? To the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged and crucified. On the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. So when you're reading chapter 2 pages later, he's already said that about 4 times. By the time you get to him talking to them, he's not cutting them any slack here. No. He knows, he said, the same people I'm talking to that are paying the big dog with me, that they're going to kill me.
That's right.
But I'm gonna still die for the sins of the world, and I'll resurrect them on the last day.
And, so, he's still going to speak truth to power.
You bet.
Which is important. All right. Well, we'll pick up with the woes next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.